All right, time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and, of course, the great folks over at Marvin Windows and Doors, Mark Pearsall and Mike Garrison, Josh Swift will be down here this week, and it'll be nice to see them here at the ballpark. Right now, looking out at the field, and Bruce, I wish you were here. Infield is taking place, and we're getting to see the outfielders throw. And I think if there's one thing about spring training, Bruce, I love, and I'm telling you, I love watching infield. How do you feel about it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that used to be a staple of the Major League game. You get there early enough, and you get to see, you know, the full infield. It's a total routine, you know, where you're thrown and when, and it goes around the outfield, throwing to different bases, and you could learn a few things. I mean, if you knew something about a guy's arm, like if you went out to watch, you know, Roberto Clemente or Al Kaline, whoever it was, throw, I mean, that was a show in itself. You know, batting practice, that speaks for itself. But, I mean, if you watch a guy like Omar Vizquel, take infield is just magical, or, you know, maybe a guy who's they're just putting in there that night, and he's a little hinky, and you can see it in batting practice and in infield. So I kind of missed the fact that the teams don't take infield before the game. I think it's a real it's a shame.
Yeah, I tell you, as I'm watching Aoki throw in from right field, and Blanco's over in left today, and Gary Brown's in center, there's just something about the speed of the ball on the throw. And, you know, again, you and I love baseball, and so many fans who listen to the shows really enjoy the game. You could almost visualize a runner, where he would have to beat a throw that's coming in from right field or center field to the plate. And it really is quite amazing how fast the ball gets in. And I think you're right. I think one of the thrills of baseball is to see the skills. And I know in the All-Star game, remember they used to have the skills competition in baseball? Remember they had in the 80s?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Well, one time in the early 80s, I was covering the A's, and I kept badgering the coaches to let me take a few hacks up there during BP real early on. And it finally happened at Fenway, and I got a few cuts in. It was great. But what I really remember was I went out in the infield, and I was around second base, and I didn't have my glove. I was with somebody else's glove, a glove that felt terrible. And I cannot believe just the ferocity of a hard ground ball or a throw coming in. You know, I've played a lot of hardball, just, you know, not obviously not pro ball or anything like that. But, you know, all of a sudden, man, you're in a whole different world there. It's great.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's fun. That's what, you know, so many people come down to spring training and, you know, they sort of bond with the game and they have a good time. And, you know, there's always good feeling in the stands. It's almost like a holiday. But if you really watch what's going on in the field, you're so close to the action. To me, it's the speed of the game that you get to see, and it's how fast the ball moves to a hitter at the plate and to a fielder defensively, and then the arms. Bruce, I tell you, this game, people can't appreciate how fast the game is until you sit close and watch it.
Yeah, and just, you know, the idea of playing third base against a lineup full of right-handed deadbolt hitters is just... You know, you go from that having to be just lightning quick reactions to say nothing of the ball. You know, if you could break one of your bones if you don't block it, and then there's the play where you have to have the speed where you got to race in and field a bunt, and then the athleticism to throw that ball to first while you're pretty much in midair, and you know that's just one position on the field that requires so many different things. You know, you picture a guy kind of built like a refrigerator or like a Ken Caminiti, but there's an awful lot that goes into it.
Yeah, really. I'm glad that we could touch on this on a Sunday. Bruce Jenkins with us on the speed of the game, what the game is like. Hey, Tim Flannery is here today, and it's nice to see him.
Yeah.
And Bruce, he's here for a couple of days, and as I look at him right now, he's behind home plate as the Giants take infield. He's got a fungo bat. He's leaning on it. Bruce Bochy is to his left. They're talking to someone of the Diamondbacks. Isn't that a picture? How about that picture?
I tell you, he'll be back in uniform by Thursday. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, he's feeling some pangs about, you know, spring training is, as we all talk about, you know, the renewal and even, you know, guys who thought about retiring in September, you know, next thing you know, it's spring and they feel great. And I talked to Ron Wotus in spring training, and he predicted kind of jokingly, but not with some serious element as well, that he thinks Flannery will make a sort of a Michael Jordan-like comeback after a couple of years. You know, Jordan left basketball and went off and played baseball and gambled and God knows what he did. And Flannery's, you know, playing music and surfing, which are two of the greatest things in my world for sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back at some point. And on the flip side, what a wonderfully timed retirement. You know, the third title, what else can you do? He's been his life for years. He's got other interests. And I think it was a beautifully planned retirement.
Well, I'm going to give the over-under at he'll be back in August. That's my feeling. I mean, yeah. I'm telling you, Bruce, I swear to you, you know, I shook his hand in the clubhouse today and I saw him, and that's where he belongs. I must tell you, he can play as much music as he wants and do everything else, but that is exactly where he belongs. It's really kind of interesting to see him out there. It's good to see him. I'm looking forward to hearing him on the air and his analysis, too, but this is a baseball guy.
Well, it really is. And, you know, you think about Roberto Kelly over there at third. You can really get exposed over there. I'm not saying he will. He's a real bright guy. He's always a guy who studied the tendencies of the other hitters and, you know, where they position. He would actually position some of the Giants' defensive players from the dugout. And, you know, now he's on the hot seat. I mean, you know, you get over that third base coaching box, a couple things go wrong, and the fans get skeptical, and they start wondering where's Flannery. And, you know, if everything's fine over there until it isn't, all of a sudden, geez, he really screwed that one up, you know. And it's amazing how many great, courageous calls Flannery made that worked on the combination of knowledge and instinct. And there were very few times where he came under a lot of scrutiny.
Yeah, not at all. Hey, Nick Cafardo, who I really enjoy reading his Boston Globe column on Sunday. I don't know if you get to see it.
Oh, yeah, but I never miss it, yeah.
Yeah, did a great column today about first base coaches and how first base coaching has changed. Now, Kelly was a first base coach for the Giants last year, and he was instrumental in the running game. And Cafardo pointed this out, as well as for the Red Sox first base coach, that a lot of players, they don't have a green light. And they got the red light or the yellow light. So it's up to the first base coach to read the pitchers on their moves and also to time them as soon as they break their hands getting the ball to the plate and tell these guys when to go. You know, first base coach used to be, hey, nice hit, and, you know, slap you on the back and you'd stand there.
Get
it's different. I'm telling you, it's different today. And Billy Hayes, this is another one. I got to get him on the show. Because now he's got it. You know, you're now part of the game, and you're not just standing there anymore.
Boy, no kidding. You know, Dave Lopes is a really good one for my money. He was a great base dealer in his day, a very intelligent base dealer who studied pitchers, and this continued right into his coaching career. I mean, he'd get a guy down there, you know, with the Dodgers, a D. Gordon, or whoever it was, and he'd tell him what's what. And, you know, if it backfires, I mean, I don't know who the A's first base coach was in 74 when they played the Dodgers in the World Series, but they bring in Herb Washington. Remember the great, he was a track guy. It was like a gimmick, but Mike Marshall made him look completely foolish, and maybe the first base coach could have saved him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Irv Noren, I think, was the third base coach. I can't remember who the first base coach was. Yeah, that's a great point. But, you know, and the other thing he said, you know, for a lefty, he'll move down the line to look at the lefty's move. And, you know, the first base coach is much more important than he ever was. But if you have a chance, Boston Globe, Nick Cafardo did a nice job in that. And also, Bruce, the lack of hitting and the pace of the game, the pitchers just don't attack hitters. And before you know it, it's 2-2, 3-2, and the hitters take pitches. And that's, you know, you could do all this thing with making people run in and run out and all this kind of stuff, stay in the box. But I still say it's the way the game is played today that adds to the, like Jeff Kent says, the 6th, 7th, 8th innings take forever.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. You know, I grew up in an era of, let's put it this way. Harmon Killebrew used to provide the information for a scouting book that I would sort of edit it through his words. And we'd talk about every hitter in the American League. And I can't think how many times Bud Geraci worked on it with me, and we had a running joke, first ball, fastball, hitter. Everybody, you know, first ball, fastball, hitter. And absolutely, I mean, go after the guys. You know, Hayes, Aaron, Clemente, all these guys, they didn't fool around. They got their pitch, and they went after it. And the pitchers were the same way. Let's get a 1-2 count here and then finish him off. You know, I mean, that's so missing today, and it's really disturbing. I mean, the idea that the A's went over the top on this for a while, not so much anymore, but draw that walk, get a walk, you know, it's as good as a hit. Well, it isn't as good as a hit, first of all. it's not a walk will never be as good as a single up the middle to score two runs, you know. But that's just the lack of aggressive hitting really bothers me. A guy like Derek Barton up there, just, you know, just get out of the box and just stay out of it, you know. I really like aggressive hitters, and you know, you look at the stats on some of the really good hitters today, and they do go after it. Those players still exist, but they're just not, there aren't enough of them around.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's the answer. They can fool around with all this cosmetic stuff with clocks and all this nonsense, but it's the way the game is played today. I'm telling you, Nick convinced me in this article today, and it's been on my mind, and you and I watch enough baseball. It's the way the game is played by the pitcher and the hitter that adds to this slow of pace. Hey, I'm glad we solved the world's problems today. That's very good.
We got a few of them knocked off. That's true. What's next?
Next, we got to pick a winner for the NCAA tournament. I think I'll take Kentucky. You can have everybody else.
Oh gosh, I don't follow much college basketball. I'll take Arizona just for the heck of it.
All right, we'll put a lunch on
it
that
is
one.
Because
all right,
it's Pac-12. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Hey, have a good afternoon. We'll talk to you next week.
Great, Marty. Thanks, as always.
All right, thanks. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. More coming up from gorgeous Scottsdale. Sun is out.